Before we start the fellowship on this session concerning the young people,
I would like to mention two sets of dates for you, maybe three. All in September. This coming September, 6 and 7, this is a Friday and a Saturday, and then it's the following weekend, September, so that would be 13th, all the way to 15th. So that's going to include Lord's Day, so Friday, Saturday, and Lord's Day. September, if this is Saturday, that means the first is Lord's Day. September 1, Lord's Day. So September 2nd is Labor Day. September 2nd is Labor Day. So the weekend right after Labor Day, which is the first full weekend, 7 and 8. Yeah. This last, we're going to have an event for college students. And we want to let you all know, and we want to open it to the churches in New Jersey. We did this for the first time, and this will be at Camp Penuel at KPCC. We did this for the first time this academic year, so this last September, but we did it only locally with the church in New York. And the purpose of this is not the so-called college conference. This is not a conference. That actually is in November. We hold that in November at KPCC, and Friday night through Lord's Day morning, and we give some messages, and we have some times of fellowship, and so on. That's what we call the college conference. This is a kind of beginning of semester welcoming time, and we invite all our students. It's not that much emphasizing new ones, although if there are some new ones that are contacted during orientation week or at the beginning, it's fine to bring them. But I would say more the more promising ones that to bring them. And we invite everyone to come Friday night. No meeting. It's just to get there Friday night so that everyone could have breakfast together Saturday morning. And it's for the students to spend the day together, get to know one another, and also get to know the community of students that are around them, not just on their own campus, but it's good for them. If they're at Rutgers or Princeton, they know that we have students at Stony Brook and Columbia and NYU and this campus, that campus, and so many, you know, and that they're, you know, kind of part of something big. But also we have some activities, icebreaker? Is that the right phrase? Icebreaker? Just to get to know one another and make some friends. And especially, at least this is our situation in New York, that we have people coming to our campuses from all over the country, other parts of the country. I think to Rutgers, you must have people that come at least from all over the state. Right. And they need friends. They need friends, a good place to establish some friendships. And actually, I think this was their schedule last in September. We had one after breakfast, everyone gets together, some singing, and then just to talk about what the schedule is during the day. Again, no message. It's not a conference. Okay, so they just had some singing and some prayers, and then to talk about what the day would be, and then some activities. They have lunch together, and it's just to, and just in, also, it's really good for city kids to be in nature, to be up there, away, and you know they're going to be, especially with us. If you go in NYU or Columbia or Baruch or Hunter, you're surrounded by cement. Right? So it's good to just be there for a kind of a refresher. Okay. Then after dinner, It's the one meeting of the day, and for about from 7 to 8:30, and that's to we pray for the semester and a little word of encouragement to, that you know we want to consecrate the semester to the Lord, and it's a kind of a springboard into the semester. So if you would like, please join us, and we want to say it now so that you can anticipate. And spread the word, and we could do this together. And free of charge. We don't charge for this. Just come. Just tell the students to come. Okay?
The Riki is for both under and graduate school.
Right, undergraduate and graduate. That's correct. That's good time for blending. Right. With sometimes the graduate students don't have much contact with the undergraduate. Yeah. And Chinese-speaking, English-speaking, whatever-speaking. Yeah, is also a good opportunity. Not limited to freshmen and not limited to the English-speaking students. Everybody. We just come and blend. Just come and be together. Just get to know each other. Okay. The following weekend is the Young Working Saints and Young Couples Conference or Retreat. Okay, this is a conference. There will be sessions with messages and so on. And again, young, sometimes we say young adults, but generally more what we say is young working saints, which includes graduate students, that age range. But especially young couples, young families. Just bring them, we'll make some arrangement for the children. Generally, what we do is we solicit the parents to help with this. There's some sisters that will coordinate this, but if the parents could volunteer to care for the children in one session, just one session, there are four conference sessions, and we want the moms in at least three sessions. And if you want to make the arrangement that dad is the one who volunteers so that mom can be in all four, then dad gets three, mom gets four. Okay, so do you see the point? There is a care for the children, but it comes from the parents. But we cooperate together, we can free as many people as possible to be in the meetings. And especially, we are burdened for the young mothers to have some supply and to be free to be in the meeting. So, again, Friday night, no meeting. Actually, we just encourage people, get there. Enough people come that very often what we have is the singing time and a little prayer, 8 or 8:30, and, you know, people are just around, and spontaneously even some singing starts and a little prayer for the weekend, but nothing formal on Friday night. Then we encourage you, get there so that we can have breakfast together and have a good start at 9 or whatever the time is. So Saturday, two sessions in the morning, one in the afternoon, one in the evening. Lord's Day morning, it's the Lord's table, and then the final session. Usually Saturday afternoon, we have a kind of some other special fellowship, right? For example, this last academic year, we had a session on courtship. How to have a blessed courtship in the church life. Then we give some practical fellowship. We haven't, of course, decided this. This is a few months away, but we are considering this time, maybe in the afternoon, we have separate sessions for those single saints and then for the married saints. The last time we had it all together, even though it's on courtship and married saints aren't courting anymore either. But the point is that the single saints go to the married saints to seek fellowship. So we want the married saints to be equipped. What is our view when we help the single ones? We shouldn't just tell them based on our experience or what we think. We should have some. We should be governed by some principles and so on. So we share with everyone as a kind of equipping. So we encourage the couples, please come to this session. And actually, almost everyone came. That's the one session we don't have coordinated. Child care. So we work something out that at least one of us, you know, somebody can be there. But anyway, this time we are considering maybe to have two split sessions and have some fellowship for the single saints and then some fellowship for the married saints. How to cultivate our marriage for the Lord. How to cultivate, how to have a happy, healthy marriage life. Maybe something like this. So, anyway, we want to just let you know with you know, advance notice. And you do know that at KPCC, you only pay for two children, their child's free, right? Just want you to know that. So you can have more children and it doesn't affect. You just bring them. Just keep having children and it doesn't cost you more to come get us a plus. But we want you to know that ahead of time so that you could plan accordingly and also plan for these saints to go. Encourage the students. Encourage the couples. Go to that. Yeah. Amen. Okay. Actually, then the following weekend, let's go, that should be 22, is the Spanish-speaking conference there. And that's for all the churches in the Northeast. We've invited Brother Rick Scatterday and Brother Victor Molina, I think, will come for that. Amen. Sometimes we hear about these things, you know, the announcement is late, a week or two before, and we already made plans, and so we want to give you a good notice, especially for the families, for the young families. Okay. This outline. Oh, thank you, brothers. Thank you. You don't know how much that helps. It really does help. I was waiting for in the prior meeting. There's three seats there. I didn't want to say anything. Anyway, let's read the title in this session here. Changing.
In our service, teaching and perfecting the young people.
Yeah. Changing the concept. This is the key phrase. Changing the concept. This session is devoted to... do we all have the right outline? No?
Yeah,
some of them
on the chair. Look around.
Yeah, the
saints.
Archer saints.
There's some on that table there?
Oh. You have on your chair, but it's not. Raise your hand.
Raise your hand?
Yeah.
Esther has some. Changing the concept in our service. Okay. What is the basic thought? Here, why do we have such a title? When people ask us about to have help with the young people, just like with what I mentioned about parents or the serving ones of the children, when they talk about help with the children, we would right away consider what do we do with them, or what do we teach, what are the lessons. Or how do you handle the children's opening, the singing? And yes, we have to pay attention to those things. And actually, I'm considering now the next time we might divert our fellowship from the view of the parents to the side of the serving ones with the children. Mm-hmm. To have some consideration how we have our children serve, and to have a session on how to improve our opening and our singing time with them. Because in ministry to children, singing is primary. Singing is primary. To infuse them with the songs will be something that will benefit them their whole lives. And it could, if it infiltrates your home life, it will uplift the atmosphere in your home through the children's songs. That could really minister to people. Okay. But anyway, concerning the young people, when people ask for help concerning shepherding them, the thought very, very often, most often, is how do we keep their attention? What lessons should we have with them? Is it okay to touch certain topics? And then a lot of question about their behavior, and we feel, and then questions about, oh, there's too much on their phones, and things like this. And of course, we sympathize with all this because we see all this. Not too long ago, you know, we're spreading in New York. We have now different districts, meeting halls, right? We have eight halls, and we're trying to start number 9, Staten Island. Please pray for Staten Island, the bridge between New York City and New Jersey, Staten Island. And we are still targeting that by the end of the year, we could have the meeting hall there. We have more than 20 families there, and those families now go to Brooklyn. But we have a building that we're in the process of purchasing and so on. But there's some problems. And so, I mean, with the purchase. So please pray for us that we can have it. But recently, certain district, they have young people. And now these saints are serving. So they have meetings with them. And the meetings are, from what I can tell, pretty terrible. Both for the kids and for the serving ones. So the brothers, the serving ones, came to talk to us. Oh, how can we get the children to listen? How do you get them to pay attention? And how do you get them not to be on their phone? Because they're in the meeting, and they're on their phone, and they're like this, and they're laughing together. So meeting, behavior, lessons. That's kind of the focus of their fellowship. But this lesson is trying to change the concept. Rather than focusing on all these things, actually, this lesson talks about bringing them to serve with us, to make the church life theirs. Bringing them to serve with us, so that they are engaged in the church life. So that they are the serving ones. They are active. They're active. They are investing in the church life. Yeah. You know, it says in Hebrews 10, do not forsake your own assembling together. Do not forsake your own assembling together. Every one of us should have our own assembling together. That is, everyone should have our own church life. So, we want our children to have a church life. And their church life may be different than your church life. Because they have their own assembly. So, they might be in a different group meeting. Or they might be in a service that you're not part of that service. They have their own service. I don't mean just them. But I mean, maybe your son might be 13 years old, but he serves with level 1 in children's meeting. And he coordinates with those saints. Not like this. Not like, when you come, could you take the boys to the bathroom? Right? Because, he's his brother. So his function is, lead the boys to the bathroom. Yeah. And what? Take attendance. And what? Bring a snack. Yeah. Not just these things. Although these things, it's okay. It's good. And especially bringing a snack or playing instrument. Yeah, actually a good way to bring young people into service. But the point, the real point is that they bear responsibility.
Amen.
Bear responsibility. And what we've seen in the vast 90-something percent of our young people, when we give them responsibility, they bear it. Amen. And they grow into it. And I can tell you, as a testimony, that was how I was shepherded in my early church life as a teenager in New York City. I remember, I may have told you this story, I remember one Friday night, we had a fellowship meeting, that's kind of like a prophesying meeting, you know, our Friday night sharing meeting. And after the meeting, one of the elders stands up and says, okay, all the saints serving on the nursery, please report downstairs for a brief fellowship. And all the high schoolers, please go down too, because as of tonight, you're all on nursery. Something like this. So we were brought into this service. Yeah. So I was 15. I was 15. And I was assigned with one brother and one sister, high schoolers. Actually, now I think back, not all of us were put on nursery. Some of us were put on the children's meeting. But I was put on nursery. And there was three of us high schoolers, and there were 12 sisters, so a total of 12 sisters on nursery. Can you imagine a 15-member nursery staff? Yeah. And there were older sisters. Some of you remember Grandma Esther. Right, Esther Sarriego, right? She lived at that house. I remember she was on our team. And then there were middle-aged sisters, there were young sisters, and then there was high schoolers. Yeah. And every 3 weeks, we were served. So now that I think of it properly, 9 of us were assigned because it was 3-3-3. Probably the rest were on children. We had to report the weekend that we served. We had to report at 8:30 in the morning. Do you know where? Not the meeting hall. To IHOP. IHOP. We had to report to IHOP. You know IHOP?
Yeah.
Pancake house. Pancakes. Yeah, pancakes. And there, everyone came and we ate breakfast together. That was a treat that I didn't pay. and somebody paid. I don't know who paid, but somebody paid. And that was the way they served. Yeah. We would have put a table together, and then with these sisters, I tell you, if not for this service, be very clear, I would never go to fellowship with all those sisters, all those older sisters. There was 2 of us boys with all those sisters. And then older sisters, why would I go talk to Grandma Esther or some of these middle-aged sisters? I have no interaction with them. But through the service, they were my serving companions. Yeah, okay, hour and a half. Then we would all go to someone's house, apartment. And there, fellowship, pray and fellowship for an hour.
Wow.
This is nursery. You're not teaching a lesson. But this is how we were brought into the service. We prayed for all the babies, for all the children, and then they gave us our responsibility for the next day and so on. And we were brought in to bear responsibility and serve. They treated us equal. Not that we were like just helpers. They treated us equal. Of course we were just helpers. There were certain things we didn't do, but they treated us as you are like us on this service. So anyway, we served like that. That was my first official service in the church in New York. Of course we'd come to do cleaning and things like that. Bringing young people into responsibility. Sometimes in the past, we've heard things like this, and we send them to serve, but we don't bring them into the burden of the service. Sometimes we have tasked them. Please, okay, the young people will do so-and-so, and then they get a corner of the hall and they clean or something. That's not what we're talking about. What we're talking about is bringing them individually into bearing responsibility with other saints in the church life, so that they are not actually a young person in the service. They are a sister or a brother. And we treat them that way. Even they're 12 or 13 years old, they're a brother serving with me on what? Maintenance. Or cleaning. Or gardening. We treat them as a brother and bring them into responsibility. Oh, I tell you, saints, I tell you, Brother Lee encouraged this decades ago. If we could carry this out, I think we would see a change in their attitude. In their attitude. Too many of the serving saints focus only on meetings. I'm not discounting the need of meetings and constituting them with the truth. Yeah, that's important. But we realize we have a lack. Because no matter how many meetings we've had in the past, no matter how many even conferences we've had in the past, we all realize when we look at our history, so many of our young people eventually lose interest. Is this not the case? They've lost interest and they leave us. And there's no connection made. There's no connection made. I don't know if I mentioned this, probably not last time. We've been doing a kind of a corporate, even across the whole nation, a reevaluation of where we are in our labor with the young people. Because in different places, there's labor, different levels, but pretty much, no matter what you do, pretty much the same result. We lose half our young people. In some places, they lose a little bit more. In some places, they keep a little bit more. But even if you say, we don't lose half... Oh, you might say, well, in our place, we don't lose half our young people. We only lose a third of them. Are you proud? You only lose a third. You have three children. You have three boys. Oh, I lost one. I'm so proud. I kept two. No, you don't. That's not... We don't compare this way. We're still losing. So we have to reconsider our ways. Yeah. And in this kind of study, we came upon a survey that was done, I believe, a Baptist. Yes. I think it was a Baptist organization. And they reached out to young people who actually older than high school. Yeah, right. Yeah. College age. Who to ask them where they are in their church going. This is all kids who grew up, quote unquote, going to church. You understand? Going to church. That was their lifestyle. Yeah, so in Christian families. And what was the percentage? I think it was two thirds. 10 years later, two thirds don't meet with their at all. Two thirds don't meet. So they lost 67%. Now we might think, oh, we only lose 50, we're better. No, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about why do we lose? Then we asked. It was asked in this survey. What are the reasons you don't meet? This is the interesting part. When you have some analysis, and two of the most common answers, I think we could learn something from. One was this. They said, I never made a connection there with the people. I never made a connection. And it's not talking about only friends. Their age, the older people, and never made a connection. So they didn't feel part of that group. They were not brought into the community or the family of that group. Yeah. And another reason, big reason, was they felt judged. They felt like they were judged. And I think, saints, we're not immune from these two things. From these two. There were other reasons as well. We should consider our situation. What kind of connection do we make with these children, and then they're into young adulthood? Is there a connection with them as a person? As a person. And there may be other ways. There may be, and there are other ways. And we're not saying this is the be-all, end-all. But I could tell you that the services can be a way to bring them in to serve with us side-by-side, where we learn each other and make that kind of connection. I know in my own experience, I know also in my son's experience, through the years of just serving together, being assigned to mow the grass, cut the grass, mow the lawn. And you know, we were assigned like this. We didn't have these mowers that you ride. You have the mower that you push. But we were told that it would be two of us. But of course, you don't have two people holding the mower. One person holds the mower. The other one was assigned to walk with them, to talk with them. And then they go the other way, and then we just. And so, you fellowship.
Right.
But the fellowship is not, so what did you enjoy in Romans this morning? So you're walking with a brother, and sometimes, of course, with our high schoolers should do it. Yeah, the younger one, at least start. And the older brothers I was with, they would ask, so where did you grow up? So tell me about your family. What did your father do for work? What's your favorite team? What's your favorite sport? Just what school are you in? Oh, what do you want to study? Oh, just so normal. In this way. Oh, I tell you, not just mowing the grass. I remember when I was in high school, I was also assigned to moving service. I don't know how, we don't have these anymore. Moving. Like when a family would move from one house to the other. Yeah, not a moving service that we would move. Yeah. No, what I mean is, if your family was going to move, you call the brothers. Hey, I'm moving next Saturday. Oh, then six brothers would show up at your house at 8 a.m. And with a truck. And then we'd help you, the saints, move. And then, I don't know how we could sustain such a service. But the saints, Livingstone. The saints moved a lot in those days. People don't do that anymore. And we have so many more people today, but they don't move the way. Anyway, we have sometimes one or two moves a month. And we just. But anyway, it was high school brothers with the young working saints brothers, and college brothers, and then young working saints. And then it was one or two older brothers. Yeah, sometimes we have eight brothers, and okay, when you're in the furniture, and you know, and the brother would ask, so what school are you? What year are you in school? Oh, I'm a sophomore. Oh, all right, what are you going to study? Do you know? And then sometimes you're, you know, it's. Hold on. I tell you, when you're figuring out how to move that thing, you know, that dresser in that narrow, and you go through that. I tell you, that bonds you. That bonds you. Like 3 years later, you say, remember when we were moving that dresser? I tell you, there's a connection. And then, always, we'd get a free lunch. always, we'd get a free lunch. The sister would prepare something, or more often, they just buy a pizza or something. And then, you know, we're not done with the move, but everybody just sitting around, and there's no chairs because we didn't finish moving. We're on the floor with whatever. And you just get built together.
Amen.
And as a high schooler, you don't feel like a high schooler. You're made to feel like a brother.
All right.
Yeah. I think we need more of this.
All right.
with our next generation,
right, yeah.
that they could feel connected.
Right.
They could feel connected. I'd like to, before reading the outline, read this verse with you. This is Philippians 2:22. If you could turn to that. Philippians 2:22. Whoever has, go with, please read. But you know his approvedness.
That as a child with the Father, he has served with me unto the gospel.
Paul is talking about Timothy. Paul's talking about Timothy. Do you know how the book of Philippians begins? Verse 1, chapter 1, verse 1. Paul and Timothy. Slaves of Christ Jesus to all the saints. Paul and Timothy. We always say Paul wrote Philippians. But according to Paul, it's Paul and Timothy to the Philippians. And then it says here, but you know his approvedness. You know his approvedness. So, Timothy had a relationship with the church in Philippi. From where? Actually, from the inception of the church. Timothy was there when Lydia got saved. Do you know Philippians 16? I mean, Acts 16? The first two families that got saved in Europe. This is the beginning of the Lord's move to Europe. Was in Philippi. And at the beginning, well, actually, you need background. Acts 15. Do you know what happens in Acts 15? That's the big conference of the apostles and the elders in Jerusalem. There was some turmoil over people forcing the Gentiles to be circumcised and all this. And they had a conference. They resolved that. And then, after that's done, at the very end of Acts 15, Paul and Barnabas decide, let's go back and see. This is their second ministry journey. Let's go back and shepherd the churches that we raised up. Let's go see these. And Barnabas wants to bring who? Mark. John Mark. His nephew. Or it could be his cousin. Anyway, his relative. Paul says, no. Why? Because on the first trip, this John Mark, right, who we met him in Acts 12, when Peter is in prison and he gets woken up, and then the angel leads him out, and then the door opens, and then he realizes, I'm not dreaming. And then he goes to the home of who? A sister named Mary, where there was a prayer meeting. And you know, she goes to the door, and the servant girl comes, Rhoda, and she says, who is it? Peter. And then she gets so excited, she runs in to tell everybody, but she forgets to open the door. Yeah, so she runs in. It's Peter! And they say, it can't be Peter. He's in prison. It must be who? His angel must be. Then we find out, everybody has an angel. But anyway, that's not the point. It must be his angel. Then it must have been that Peter was, hello? And then they come, and then they open. It's Peter! Wow. Actually, I think many times, what were they praying for in that prayer meeting? Don't you think they were probably praying, Lord, release Peter?
Right.
Yeah. And then, so there's an answer, and then, no. We're used to praying prayers that we expect not to be answered. Anyway, that's not the point either, but that's good to know. So, anyway, this, it says, Peter went to the home of Mary, and why did the Holy Spirit inspire Luke to say, the mother of him who is called John Mark? It's not necessary for the story, but the Spirit led Luke to add this. That's where we're introduced to John Mark. Yeah. So, this John Mark, who is Mark, the gospel writer, right? Who we know later is kind of like the son to Peter, right? He's very close to Peter. He goes with Barnabas, who's a relative, and Paul, and they go on a journey, but he seems like it was too much. He was frightened or something, and he deserts them and goes back. He left in a negative way. And so Barnabas wants to take him on the second journey. Paul said, no. Actually, it says, a great contention. Can you imagine? The two apostles, Barnabas and Saul, who became Paul, says they had a great contention. They had fought. They must have said, I want to bring him. And Paul must have said, I mean, it doesn't say, but Paul must have said, absolutely not. If we take him, I'm not going. And then Barnabas says, fine. I'm going, and I'm going to take him. And they do. That's the end of 15. Chapter 16, you know how it starts? Paul and Silas go to Derbe and Lystra, and they hear about this young man named Timothy, who is recommended by the brothers from both places. So, Timothy was, you could say, Mark's replacement. So they had a younger brother who Paul saw. What a good testimony this young brother has. I want to take him with me. Now, Paul did not get Timothy saved. He was already a believer. The credit must go, we find out later, to his mother and even his grandmother. The family brought salvation to him. His father was a Greek, implying unbeliever. So he came from this kind of home, right? But Paul is impressed by this young brother and takes him with him. First lesson. Paul wants to preach the gospel a certain place. The Spirit says no, forbids them. You know that story? The Holy Spirit forbade them. Then, this is one way. Then wants to go the other direction. And then it says, but the Spirit of Jesus forbade them.
Right.
So the first lesson that Timothy sees is this man, this apostle, does not serve according to need. He does not serve according to environment. He serves by the restriction of the Spirit. He's learning this. Yeah. Then Paul receives what we call the Macedonian call.
Right.
And there's a man from Macedonia saying, come and help us. And that's why he goes to Europe, to Philippi. In Philippi, who's the first one they meet? They go to a place of prayer and they meet Lydia, who is there, you know, clothing and, you know, so on. She believes, and her whole household.
Yeah.
It doesn't mention Timothy in those verses, but he's there. Actually, somebody else is there too. Luke. Here, Luke joins the trip. Yeah, because there's a little note that if you read in Acts 16, it says, they, he, they, us, we. Oh, the narrative changes from they to we. Yeah, from them to us, which means Luke joined them. And there's a little note. Brother Lee has a note on this. These are the things sometimes we read, you don't pick it up. Yeah, so actually, in Philippi, it was Paul, Silas, Luke, Timothy. Yeah. Then they're preaching the gospel, and it's prevailing, and there's a problem, and they get thrown in jail. Who? Only Paul and Silas. You know, that's the famous parrot, midnight in the prison, in the inner prison, and there's a, you know, what are they doing? They're praising. They're singing while praising, right? And then there's an earthquake, and then the guard comes and says, man, what must I do to be saved? And he says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved, and your whole household. And then he takes them to his house. The whole house gets saved. And then they want to, the word comes because they find out he's a Roman citizen. You can go. He said, no. You did that to us. You have to send us out in a proper way. Anyway, so then it says, I think the last verse, something like this. And he went back to the brothers. They went back to the brothers. Yeah. Who's the brothers? Timothy and Luke. Along with Lydia's family and the jailer's family. That's the beginning of the church. Yeah. You know, Timothy was there observing. This was like his pre-training. His first week of training. Like, wow! This is what it means to serve the Lord. Yeah. So, the Philippians knew this young Timothy. And he was approved in his living. How did Paul bring him in? Was it by giving him meetings and giving messages to him? No. It was like this. You know his approvingness, that as a child with a father, he has served with me unto the gospel. So, he took this young brother to serve alongside. Of course they have different portions. Of course. But eventually, Timothy was the one Paul could send to them and tell them, the only one I could find like Saul would care for your things. Because everybody cares for their own things. So he was training Timothy in this principle. Serve with me. That's what we mean by the change of concept. That's the biblical way to take care of young people. And these were young people. This is this young Timothy. Okay, now let's come to the outline. Let's read together Roman 1. Our present need is to change our concept and our system. We must learn to serve and how to serve with others. We must remember not to replace the saints, but others to bring them into the service with us. Let's pick up the sub-point. Sisters, let's alternate. Sisters A, brothers B, and so on. Sisters.
You should not say that the saints have no capacity. The problem is that we are short in perfecting them. If we will do a perfecting work, their capacities will be more important.
Brothers.
They must be perfected to do more than they need to gain. Listen to messages and how to take care of business affairs. These matters are not for all the interests and capacities of the saints.
Pay attention to this. Not only with the young people, but even with our new ones of all ages. If all we do is lead them to attend meetings, listen to messages, and take care of business affairs, their interest may wane. At the beginning, the new ones, their interest is—they're open. They want to know. They want to be. But if we don't perfect them properly, for them to be engaged and to pick up responsibility, I would say, no wonder they are bored. You know, we should be honest. In many of our young people's meetings, the young people are bored. We didn't keep their interest. Now, are there many factors? Yes, there's other factors. Personal factors. Factors of the world and so on. But we should do our part. Whatever we can. Of course, one part is we could make the meeting more interesting. That is one part. And be more relevant, right? Be more interactive. That's one part. But that's not the only thing. Another part, a great lack that we've seen, is bringing our young people into engagement in the church life, where they bear responsibility and bear some of the church life. Let's continue. Sisters, see. Even when we have administrative affairs, even this, so easy, just take care of it ourselves. rather than giving jobs to people, give jobs to them and put things into their hands. Of course, we need to still take responsibility. And people will make mistakes. We need to absorb those mistakes and not blame people after we give them the responsibility, especially if we didn't train them fully and properly. So we need to mentor people and give them things to do, that people will be happy that they contribute. Actually, one thing we found, many of our young people, so capable, I don't know why I didn't realize this sooner, but in their schools, particularly our high schoolers, they are president of this club and that. Some of them started this club at their school and that activity, and some of them are class president or student body president. They have such capacity. They do things. Some of them, they volunteer to go to the inner city to help the poor. And yeah. Then when they come to us, we tell them, sit there and listen to me.
Right.
We don't draw their interest. We don't enlarge their capacity. They have something within them, and we don't foster that. We need to do a better job in this area. You know, one time, this is brother who was already young adult age, working brother. He had just gotten recovered into the church life, so I felt I wanted to spend time with him. And I remember we went out to eat somewhere to have lunch near his job. And as we were talking, phone rang. Yeah, okay. Tell him to do this and this and this and this. Okay, got it. Okay, yeah. Oh, yeah, hi, brother. And then, sorry. He had two phones. No. That's not what I said. I said, do this, da 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 da. Oh, okay, good. Fine. Sure. And 10 minutes later, the other one. Yeah, that's good. Yeah, after that, I want you to do it. Then I realized, this brother is running a department. Yeah. And then when he comes to us, we have him just sweeping outside a little bit. And not that anything is beneath us. That's wonderful. But this brother has capacity.
Right.
And because he grew up among, I know him since he's in junior high school. Now he's in his 20s, and unconsciously, I still see him as a junior higher or a high schooler. I know this because I live through this the other way. Because I grew up in the Lord's recovery since 14 years old. And there are some brothers. You know Brother Dick Taylor. Brother Dick Taylor. I met Dick Taylor when I was 15 years old. Yeah. Okay. Now, I travel with Brother Dick Taylor to give conferences somewhere. Oh, and I sit next to him. I feel like I shrink. And I feel like I'm 15 or 16 again. You know, like this. And I have to stand against that.
Right.
And Brother Dick, though, he doesn't treat me like a child. But some saints that know us from, you know, back in the day, as we say, they know us, they still treat us like we're children. It's a spontaneous, it's just a natural thing. When we see children growing up, you don't realize that this brother is in his 30s. He's a father now. He runs a business. But we see him as little, you know. And you may not notice this, but this affects our church life. You know, Paul said, "I will know no man according to the flesh." In 2 Corinthians, from henceforth, I know no one according to the flesh. But saints, unconsciously,
because we may be in families in the church, like we all know each other, we treat some of the second generation according to the flesh. This doesn't mean we're, you know, that something in a negative way is expressed. Even the way, oh, we love them, but we love them like they're little children. Actually, we should respect them as adults and as our sister or brother. Yeah, and appreciate their function and foster their function in the church life. This starts when they're baptized at 12, 13, 14 years old. This is the change in concept that we're talking about. Okay, where are we? Sorry. Did you say D?
C2.
We learn when we do things, but we learn more when we teach others. If we do not teach others, our learning is incomplete. When we teach others, we are forced to consider things thoroughly. This is for all of us. This is for all of us. Helping to bring others into function is a great learning for us. We must change our system and change our concept. We must teach and train the saints in order for them to be useful. Otherwise, no matter how much we preach the gospel, it will be difficult for us to gain the increase. Romans 2, together.
A Christian should serve and work. In order to be healthy, a person must eat, rest, work, and be sufficiently active.
Of course, we know this. This is the natural law. We need to not only eat. It's not only intake. To be healthy, you have to be active. Right? You have to not only rest. You have to exercise. Right? And in the Christian life, it's the same way. Of course, this principle is for all of us. We all need to be active in some way. It just seems that with our younger saints, with the young people, we have not kept this principle in the proper way. We feed them, and want them to be preserved from the world. But we don't consider this aspect of activity and exercise. And this is in preaching the gospel. And I heard, you just recently had a gospel meeting, right, for the churches in the central, among the high school. Very good. Lead them into the proper exercise. These two things, church service, gospel preaching, we have observed helps this young generation to have their place in the church life.
Right.
To feel that they're contributing in the church life. A, according to our experience and observation, the young people need to be exercised in the spiritual activity of going forth to bear fruit. The easiest time for Christians to bear fruit is when they are young. The young people should also learn to function in the meetings, in the meetings of the church. The young people who are high school age should begin to bear some responsibility in their spiritual family.
Right.
We should endeavor to bring the young people into the practice of the church life through the children's work and the practical service in the church. And there you have Philippians 2:22, the verse that we read before. The young people should also bear responsibility in the children's meeting in every local church. The children's work is not less important than the young people's work. As energy and time allow, the young people should also take part in other miscellaneous services of the church. In these services, the young saints are spontaneously blended into the church life through the practical coordination and fellowship with saints of all ages, including their peers. This is what I was referring to before, where I ended up assigned to a group with older sisters. I would not choose naturally to even greet them or to sit with them, but now I'm serving with them. We're here in an environment, I got blended with them. Actually, with some of these sisters, until they went to be with the Lord. From my teenage years, I got to know them. So, the church, the service provides an environment where there's an opportunity for blending. Okay, Romans 3, together. We must
pay attention to a fundamental point in young people's work, which is that we must bring them into working with us.
Working with us. Again, that's Philippians. You have this this verse, Philippians 2:22. Working with us. Sisters, A. Now, this is a big lesson for the full-time serving saints in many places. How to bring the students into function without replacing their function. Bringing them to preach the gospel, and it says here, without ever setting foot on the school. And you would think that to preach the gospel, you have to go there to do it. Actually, we need to bring the young people into activity so that they go to do the work. Brothers, B.
We must always apply this principle no matter where we serve. The work must belong to the saints to the point that they are asking the workers for assistance rather than relying on them to do everything.
Amen. Sisters.
In order to produce a useful brother, we must spend a few months to labor and gain him.
And it says we should spend time with him by fellowshipping with him, having meals with him, leading him to pray until the young brother begins to love the Lord, is revived, and becomes willing to preach the gospel in his school. Again, Philippians 2:22. We must work on the young people until they are raised up and until they are more zealous and more serious about the work than we are. If this is the way we serve, every school will be open to us. Both university students and junior high school students can be gained in this way. Amen. Roman 4 together.
In every school, we must produce young saints who are very urgent, and we only assist in supplying them from a distance.
Amen. Brothers, A.
On one hand, we should not be afraid for that other serve, but on the other hand,
yeah, sometimes I've seen this. Some older ones are really afraid to let the younger ones to serve. We really should be confident. We really should respect what has been sown into them in the past and expect that they will make mistakes. But when they make mistakes, please don't judge them. Don't criticize them. You use that as a teaching moment so they can improve.
Right.
Yeah. You know, we had this big the Memorial Day conference in White Plains two years ago. And we're hoping to have another in the area in 2021, right? 2021. On this side of the river. Yeah. So anyway, I remember during that time we asked four brothers, two from New York City and two from New Jersey. And we told them, brothers, plan the conference. And we talked about, this is all that we have to do. Oh, so many arrangements and so on. We're going to have more than 3,000 people, and you have to plan all of the logistics. This conference is very different than what the saints are used to when you go to Thanksgiving and Memorial Day. Because the saints are used to going to one hotel, and the meeting is downstairs.
Right.
I mean, upstairs, downstairs. That's all you do. We chose an arena, and then there's the hotel over here. Actually, seven hotels. And then we have bus service, transportation service. And then the airport. And usually it's just 15, 20 minutes. Now it's way up there. You have to deal with transportation. The children's meet. So many things. Said, brothers, here it is. We told them, four young brothers. But we told them this, we'll fellowship with you. We'll meet with you. I think we used to meet with them on Monday mornings at 7:30 in the morning, the conference call. For about an hour and a half, we'd go over all the things. But we told them, brothers, don't worry. Don't worry about making mistakes. If you make a mistake, it is our fault. It is our responsibility. It's because we didn't train you the right way. So don't be afraid. It's such a big undertaking. Actually, these four brothers were coordinating about 300 saints. We mobilized 300 saints with all of the services and everything so wonderfully coordinated. So don't be afraid to give people responsibility. Also, don't be afraid of being replaced. Sometimes we feel, oh, if I let this one serve, eventually they might do it better than me. Then there's no need for me. Yeah, that would be wonderful, actually. Yeah, but actually, it's not like that. It's not like that. It's to free you to do other services. And as we get older, saints, as we get older, we shouldn't be doing all the same things. You know, at work, when you're at work, if you're doing the same thing 10 years later, probably you're not really advancing professionally. Your job description should change as you go along. In the church life, you should improve too. And actually, more of us should be mentors, tutors, to help bring other saints into their function. This was even in the priesthood, this is practiced. In the priesthood, you could serve, first there's an apprenticeship from 25 to 30. Then you serve in the priesthood. It's not like the army. The army, you don't retire. In the priesthood, you serve from 30 to 50. Then after 50, you relinquish those responsibilities of the day-to-day things. And then you mentor the next generation. Somebody has to raise up those apprentices. And also oversee the priesthood that there would not be the iniquity of the sanctuary. So our role changes, but we should never be threatened or have the thought, oh, then I won't be needed anymore. And actually, saints, we should have the desire that our young saints could do things better than we
do.
That should be our desire. Right? Okay. Let's continue.
A1,
yes. After we hand things over, we should stand behind and watch the situation. This will enable us to see how well the person is doing. We should have... These are from Brother Lee's message. This is his fellowship directly, how to bring people into function. We should have the assurance that after so many years of observing, listening, and learning, the saints are able to bear responsibility. We should be at peace to commit matters into their hands. The saints simply need a little guiding. Sisters, B. Yeah, so this kind of help when we're with them, bringing them into service, is not by giving messages. Actually, you're talking about actual situations. How to preach the gospel to that one. How to teach a lesson to a 5-year-old as opposed to an 8-year-old. What kinds of crafts? What kind of examples? The real life talk over all these things will really perfect them and bring them into function. Then it says, when the young saints ask for help, we should be ready to help them. If we cannot help them, they will not ask for help again. If the young saints learn something that they can apply, they will return for more help. Then we can give them further direction. At this point, the work will be borne by both the students and the worker, because the students carry it out at school, and the worker helps as needed. If we work in this way, it will be easy to gain a school. Of course, here it's in the context of the gospel, but it's exactly the same when the children are the young people are serving in the church life, in any area of service. Okay, let's read the last point together. 5.
In the work and in the church, we are not measured by whether or not we are capable. We are measured by how many useful ones we are able to produce. The standard of success does not depend on our ability to do
useful ones have we produced? We should ask. We should endeavor to bring more of our young people into function in the church life. Bring the college students to serve the high schoolers. The high schoolers to serve the junior high and the children. Bring them into service with the meeting halls. Take advantage of the halls. Actually, that's what something we've found as we are purchasing now, building after building after building. When the hall is there, it seems like all the saints' church life is enriched. Many things to do and coordinate. If we do a good job in this, actually the young people could play a vital role in the start of new meeting halls. This has been actually a kind of pattern that we've been establishing in New York, giving the young people responsibility for certain things in the halls. Even something like this, new building. How many bathrooms? Which means how much toilet paper? These are things actually people hardly ever think about. But how many boxes of toilet paper do you need? Usually we will assign this to an older brother and the purchase. Of course, I'm not saying assign to the children the purchasing. No, I'm not saying that. But you could assign to a junior high brother and a sister or a team of them, right, to be responsible to replace the toilet paper in every bathroom. That's their bathroom. That's their bathroom. Every Lord's Day, when they come in, they have to make sure the roll is proper, have one extra one there, and then where's the supply? Where's the supply? Oh, I tell you, if a young person takes this kind of service seriously, they will say to you, Mommy, Daddy, I have to get there early because I have to check the bathrooms.
Right.
Don't you anticipate? I think this would happen. I think this would happen. If you give this to a college student, don't you think that I got to check the bathrooms? Actually, maybe they check all the bathrooms, check the supply, and then they leave. That wouldn't be so good. But still, better than nothing.
Right.
That they bear a responsibility, bear a burden. We have, we've had in different places students, right? Students. They serve on the children's meeting. And sometimes they get into this habit. They only come when they have to serve. Oh, you may think, oh, that's not so good. They should be in the church meeting. Oh, but if you take them off the service, they never come. Give them something to do in the church life.
Right.
Give everyone a job.
Amen.
They feel part. They feel part of the church life.
Right.
Anyway, this is what we mean by the change of concept.
Amen.
Put people, employ people, give them something to do, put them into function.
Amen.
Amen. I think we have some experience. I hope some of you could share some of the experiences that we had, even yourselves, how you were helped to be brought into function in that way. We still have, now we have a longer time for sharing. How about a few prayers?
Amen.
About this time, not two by two, let's pray all together.
Amen.
And then
Amen.
A few prayers.
Amen. Lord.
Oh.
Is your body.
Amen.
Oh, we are the members.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, we can function.
Amen.
Oh, and we bring members into function.
Amen.
Oh, Lord Jesus,
Amen.
Grant us such a wisdom.
Amen.
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 Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen.
that's such a wisdom.
Amen.
Change your concept.
Right.
We not just measure how capable we are.
Right.
How many things we could do.
Amen.
But truly, how many useful ones we are able to produce.
Amen.
Lord, we give this matter to you, Lord.
Amen.
In our daily church life.
Amen.
In our family life.
Amen.
Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Just foster and bring forth the functions of the next generation.
Amen.
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 Yes, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for the body.
Amen.
We thank you that we are the part of the body, Lord.
Right.
You are the head of the body.
Amen.
All the body coming in will be the part of you too.
Amen.
We give the responsibilities and love for them.
Amen.
And the attention that we can, they may grow to you.
Amen.
Know you more.
Amen.
Serve you, Lord.
Amen.
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 Lord Jesus, for your love.
Amen.
May grow in you.
Amen.
Jesus, we love you, Lord.
Amen.
Yes, we love you.
Amen.
Thank you for putting us in the body of Christ.
Amen.
How much we want that all the members can function.
Amen.
Or they can they can engage.
Amen.
Or they can fulfill their functionality.
Amen.
Lord Jesus,
Amen.
You grant us wisdom, Lord.
Right.
So that we can bring in more young people.
Right.
Or more saints.
Amen.
Into the functioning.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
More into the function.
Right.
Lord, we love you.
Amen.
We love your church.
Amen.
We love the young people.
Amen.
Lord, yes, do give us wisdom.
Amen.
Lord, that these connections may be produced.
Amen.
Through the serving together.
Yes.
Lord, do give us the grace not to judge.
Amen.
But to absorb the mistakes.
Amen.
That we would love the young people.
Amen.
We would mentor them.
Right.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
A new start.
Amen.
A new concept.
Amen.
In this children and young people's work.
Amen.
We ask for mercy.
Amen.
Lead us.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Amen.
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 I really appreciated this word. Actually, I just want to echo something our brother just prayed.
Right.
I feel like, you know, there's really two, at least, I mean, there are many points, but two main points that really stood out to me this afternoon. That is, one, we need to bring people into function.
Right.
And then, two, we need to have the proper connections. And I feel like the connections, the proper connections, are actually through the service.
Right.
The service groups. Recently, actually, my wife read something from the ministry. I don't remember exactly verbatim, but Rosalie was speaking about how in the church life, there are a lot of generals, quote-unquote,
right.
but not enough sergeants.
Right.
You know, the ones who are, underground fighting with the soldiers. But rather, we tend to be generals. We like to tell people, right? And I think a lot of times, when we hear such a message, we just need to employ the young people, then we think, okay, let's see, we have a list of these jobs, let's just, okay, Jerry wanted to do this,
yep.
Richard wanted to do that,
mm-hmm.
and then we just let them, you know, fulfill a job. But I feel like through our brother sharing it, you get the sense there's more than that.
Right.
You know, it's actually through the service, a lot of perfecting was being
right,
done.
Right.
Connections were being made.
Right.
Right? Weren't you so touched that there was just these normal human conversations, like, otherwise, you know, outside of that service, probably would never happen.
Right.
But it was just through that service, that opportunity, you're able to just connect with people.
Right.
And just to kind of build upon what was brought out, Fuller, they also did a study on why
mm-hmm.
Young people are leaving, and they came up with this conclusion, this statistic, that the young people, they need intergenerational
mm-hmm.
relationships.
Mm-hmm.
So more than just peer-to-peer, but they need some fathers and mothers, aunts and uncles.
Right.
They need younger ones. And then they came up with this number. Actually, if on average, each young person could have at least five connections, right, in the church, then their chances of them remaining in the church life is a lot higher. And so these connections could be anything. They could be as simple as going to someone's sporting game, which, anyway, recently I've just been more burdened to just go to watch the young people play sports and to get to know them. Like,
right.
My point is, I feel like we really need to learn, right, to really bring people into function. And I just want to end with this kind of testimony. Recently at a conference, I was sitting there. This is before the, you know, one of the feasts, before the meeting started. I noticed this brother walk in, and I know this brother. He usually is serving on the cameras. Okay, so he's walking in, and then I noticed right behind him was his son, and this is the first time I've noticed this, and it was this speaking, like, you know, being portrayed, right? You know, like, it's living. Like, I see someone actually carrying this out. And so this brother, actually, I look up to him very much. Actually, he's one of the brothers that helped, you know, Esther and I, and, you know, getting together. And so he's a little bit older than me, but I just saw a pattern before me. He was bringing his son to enter into function, what he was doing. Actually, his son was doing something very simple. He was just holding microphones, right? All he did was hold microphones to the, you know, when you go to a feast, there's that area where, you know, all these brothers are serving. And that was it. And then this son, he had a, you know, LSM official name badge, has his name and everything. But this was the point. He was bringing him into function. And I was just reminded, you know, like Noah, he had three sons. It speaks to me a lot because I have three sons. And then always, you know, whenever I come to these verses, I'm really sobered because, you know, the last thing I want to happen is I'm trying to build this ark and somehow my sons, they don't enter into
right,
it with
right.
me. But Noah, he was able to achieve this. He right. he was building the ark and he got his entire family, right, building alongside of him and eventually entering into this ark. So anyway, I really appreciate this word. May the Lord have mercy on us. Give us the wisdom that we can work this out in all of our localities.
Amen.
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 Something about the making the young people connected to us. So many times, you know, we like go to the Sunday class and then teach the lesson. But after that, or maybe even the you know, lunch time, we talk to the young people. But after the local meeting, many times we, as young people studying, have not much connection with our young people. So really, I heard this second time, so the connecting is so important. I'm very impressed by the brother sharing, like when they share in the nursery school. So yeah, the sister actually brought the 7-1, like, connect with them. So that's really, our church life is not like lots of meeting and things, or conference, but also more like a daily life, caring, and all that. I know it's maybe not easy, but I feel like that's the way to go.
Amen. 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 Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus. Lord. Let's see where this goes. I just received, I thought just, I was most touched by this. Called the change of our concept. Sometimes one of the hardest things that we have, especially with getting older, is to hold on, you know, to let go what are my old concept, right? But now today, I just felt we're seeing, even though it's not the first, but today I just have a fresh appreciation. We need to change our concept, right? If we are open to the Lord. Say, Lord, I want to be open to this change, right? And we are Looking over here, we have a few. As the brother was mentioning, in the Old Testament, that you enter into the priestly service at the age of 30, and there's a time where you retire, but you're not retiring in a sense of you just go sit there and enjoy until the sunset, right? But we are having fresh opportunities for many of us to rise up to be mentors, to be in the trenches, to be the sergeants, right? To be fighting this, right? Fighting this in the army, right? To train them, to bring them along, so that many will be able to function, and right? Many will be able to bear the responsibilities. So, I know my wife really likes to get some of the children, to do this, whether it's cleaning, whether it's even to make sure some of the things get done. Before, I didn't think it was really that important, but I think now my concept is being renewed and changed. Right? We need many who can able to rise up and consider. This is my house. This is my home. This is my church. This is not my father's church, my mother's church. This is my house. This is my church. And this is my meetings. These are my gospel friends. These are the ones I need to pray for, right? Hallelujah. I don't know what I got it or not, but anyway, I really appreciate it. I need to change my concept. Right. Not to stick to dough, but receiving with a fresh supply.
Amen. We do need to change our concept. And in Brothers Fellowship about, for young people, the two things we can help them. One is church services, another one is gospel preaching. Right? So we can engage them and work with us, or do the service together and preach gospel together. And then service does provide the opportunity and the environment for us to know the young people more,
right.
To know them better.
Right.
I think in the very beginning, Father mentioned about there's several many reasons that the young people are not staying in the church. One major one is that never make connections. And then this is connection. It's not just they don't have a friend. There's their age, the friends with their old age, really is the connection to all level, all ages.
Right.
And then if you look at the statistics, New Jersey is the number is not good.
Right.
Okay. If I remember correctly, East Coast probably. 40%, around 40% retention rate. It means you're growing up in the church, you're staying, after you graduate from college, you're staying. New Jersey, only 25. So we have nothing to boast.
Right.
We have a lot of things to worry.
Right.
Is that our young people, we are losing our young people.
Right.
And then I think one point reminded me today very, very much is that how we connect with them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
How we that young people feel that they are really in the family. Not just their own, but their uncles, their grandpas, their others. I think it's very, very important. We do have very good service here, young people service, but we do need to engage them.
Yes.
Whatever the ways that they feel that they there's a church, there's a community that they belong to.
Right.
And I think that's really we need to pray over about this before the Lord.
Amen.
We cannot, we spend so much energy serving the young people.
Right.
Right. But if we are losing them, it really is heart aching. Right?
Right.
So really I think it's a wake up call today, and then also we really need to change our concept. But we do need to, the wisdom, it's not just say, okay, you do this, do that, right? It's really, you spend more time with them, right? And we need to find a way to really to engage young people with other sense.
Right.
that they feel that they can connect to.
Right.
So that's very, you know, I don't think it's a small matter. And really, you know, we need to really pray over this and then really look for the Lord's leading.
Yes.
How we really can engage them, not only the they can function in the church,
right,
but really they have a connected in the church life.
Yes. Amen. Amen. That's right. Amen.
In fact, this change of concept, I think this is a real timely word.
Right.
You know,
right.
I can see, you know, even though this message is given in the context of the young people,
yeah,
I think this is fully applicable.
That's right.
In our church life.
Amen.
When we brought,
yes,
you know, bring new ones into the service,
yes,
right? And really how much we could, you know, today, like in the church life, there is a practical need, really,
yeah,
to bring more saints into function.
Right.
Right. We all have this, yeah, kind of a desire or function, but in our practice, a lot of time we just forget about, we just let our concepts,
right,
kind of like,
right,
operate, right?
Right.
Our old man kind of comes in,
right,
you know, really becomes a roadblock,
right,
you know, for the new ones to come in. Like these points where, you know, we really need to give them more room, right?
Right.
Whether it's the young people or the new ones that comes into church, into the service, right? We really need to foster them instead of like, a lot of times, you know, especially for the ones that we serve for many years,
yeah,
we feel like, you know, we're very experienced, you know. Just for example, you know, let's say someone is really good at cooking, right? Someone is really good at performing certain functions. A lot of times you're just like, okay, when a new one comes in, you know, you just don't feel like he's experienced or enough, and sometimes you may actually want to sort of step in and help, and sometimes the help may actually cause them to actually retreat, right?
Yeah.
It's like, because you're taking over, right? Even sometimes, like say in a meeting, we should not really over-function. Let's say if we speak too much in certain group meeting, and we, you know, somehow like just like our brothers are saying, right? We, you know, we're kind of unintentionally dwarfing the other saints, right? So these are all the practical points that we really need to keep in mind, that when we're really serve, we really need to serve in the spirit, right?
Right.
You know, we really need to pay attention to these young ones.
Right.
It is not how much that, I really enjoyed the last point,
right,
it's really not how,
right,
much that we could actually capable,
right,
of,
right,
of serving, right?
Right.
I mean, the successful is really how much useful ones that we can brought up for the Lord.
Right.
You know, this is like ultimate, you know,
how
the Lord will measure us, right?
Right.
Even, you know, when the Lord comes back and you know, really measures us, you know, how much, you know, denali have you made, right?
Right, right.
You know, it's not like,
right,
how much you have, you know,
right,
functioned, but, you know, how much,
amen,
useful,
amen,
ones you have brought in.
Amen. Right. Right. That's right. Right. How many you have gained, yeah.
Amen.
No more. Amen. That's right.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. The meeting stopped here. We really appreciate our brother come here and have this kind of fellowship.
Right.
I think,
amen,
it's a very timely, amen, word to us. Our brother promised us he will come 3 times a year.
Amen.
We can pray for more, but at least 3 times, right?
Amen.
So we have one in March. And then today is June, so we might have probably in October time frame, right?
Yeah.
So around October time frame, we have another one. Right? Do pray for this.
Yeah.
And also, I think that very helpful word fellowship here, and I'm hoping that in different churches we can follow up.
Yeah.
For instance, like this message is very practical.
Right.
Like how do we engage, perfecting them? Bring them into the service. I think that will be very good for each church to follow up. And also, like the first message about sanctifying ourselves for the sake of our children. And then I think the serving ones can also follow up and then maybe have some fellowship so that we can bring in the practical points,
right,
that we can actually carry out in our daily meeting.
Amen.
The meeting is up.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Brother Ricky, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, brother.
Amen, my brother.
Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
How do you continue?